We're looking today at the last section in this book of Galatians that we've been studying, and we will be looking at verses 11 through 18. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to begin reading in verse 11. Paul said, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." The King James translates this, "how large a letter." Now, other translations give the rendering, "large letters." And in the Greek here, the word for letter is in the plural. So it literally means letters. So some believe that this indicates that Paul had trouble seeing and he had to write in large print. And others believe also that this was Paul's thorn in the flesh. And as you go back to Galatians chapter 4, in Galatians 4 verses 13 through 15, Paul talked about his infirmity in the flesh, his temptation in the flesh. And then he goes on and adds in that same context that if it had been possible, the Galatians would have plucked out their own eyes and have given them to Paul. So it could be, it's possible that Paul had trouble seeing, and it's possible that his thorn in the flesh was this eye problem. But at any rate, Paul says, "I have written unto you with mine own hand." There were times in the New Testament when somebody else wrote under Paul's supervision. For instance, when you look at Romans, the book of Romans was actually penned by a man by the name of Tertius. You read about that in Romans 16, verse 22. So he wrote under Paul's supervision. It's not like that this man simply wrote in his own words what Paul wanted him to say. Paul supervised that writing, and of course he was inspired, and it could be that Tertius himself was inspired. We're just not told the details about that. But at any rate, what we do find in the New Testament is that Paul did sign the epistles that he wrote, because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, "The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write." Now, why is this important, or what kind of connection does this have to Paul's writing to these Galatians? Well, he's letting these Galatians know that this was really a letter from Paul, that Paul personally and directly sent this letter to him. There's a personal touch in what he says here in verse 11. And Paul, as we've seen in chapter 4 especially, does talk about his personal relationship with these people. And so as he writes to them, he said, "You can see my handwriting here. I wrote this epistle." And there's something personal about handwriting, and Paul wants to emphasize that here as he begins to close. In verses 12 and 13, Paul again goes back and he talks about the men that were causing the problems. Let's read verses 12 and 13. Paul said, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For they neither themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." What is Paul saying about these men here? Well, the men that he's talking about are these Judaizers. These are the Jews in the church who are telling these Gentile Christians that they have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And they had made some converts, especially here in Galatia. And Paul said, "I want to tell you the real reason why they're doing this. I want to explain to you the motive that they have for doing this. It's not because they were really sincere about keeping the law of Moses, and it's not because they were really consistent in keeping the law of Moses. It was something else." Paul said that they desired, look at verse 12, "they desire to make a fair show." The word "show" there means a showing. And what they were doing was converting as many of these Gentile Christians as they could. And they prided themselves in that. They bragged about it. And if you look again at verse 13, notice the wording here. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire. This is what they really want. This is what they're after. They desire to have you circumcised, that is, to keep the law of Moses, that they may glory in your flesh, that is, glory because they have converted you. So they felt good when they converted people to their side. Now, this is a motive of false teachers. False teachers are motivated by many things. We've seen many times in the study of the Bible that one of the things that motivates false teachers is money. It is greed. And we find that in the Old Testament, we find that in the New Testament, and we find that false teachers are motivated by greed today. But there are other motives, and one of them is that false teachers pride themselves in winning people over to their side. There's a control factor. There's an arrogance and a sense of satisfaction that they have that they have changed people, that they have converted people, and that they keep them under their control and under their fear. And we do find in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, that the Pharisees were quite aggressive when it came to making converts. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 15, that they would circle sea and land to make one convert to their cause. So they went after people. They were very enthusiastic about trying to change people over to their side. And the sad thing that Jesus talked about there in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, was that he said, when you make one convert, one proselyte, as the King James says, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. In other words, when you convert somebody over to your cause, he's worse than you are. So false teachers divide the church because they want to control people. Now, there are other verses in the Bible where we see this kind of motivation. For instance, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul told the elders of the church at Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now watch verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Now, if we just stop right there, what we find is that Paul said that there would be false teachers who would enter. There will be men from the outside that will get on the inside of the church and cause trouble. But he said, in addition to that, there are going to be some inside the church. He said, of your own selves, there are going to be men who will arise and speak perverse things. Now, let's ask the question, why? Why would men in the church speak things that are perverse? That is, they're twisted. They're not true. Why would they twist the facts and twist the truth? Why would they do that? Paul explains, to draw away disciples after them, to get a following, to get people under their control, so that they can say to other people that they've converted all these people and that they have a lot of people on their side. In the book of 3 John, we read about the man named Diotrephes, who had preeminence and loved to have the preeminence over those people, and there was a fear of that man in that congregation because the Bible tells us that he was forbidding them to do things that they had the right to do as Christians. So the Pharisees in the New Testament were power-hungry leaders who delighted in having other people under their thumb. They built their pride even more on that fact. And that's why the Bible says that they gloried in public when people would go to them and call them rabbi or father or something else. He said, all their works they do for to be seen of men. That's Matthew 23, 1 through 12. And by the way, that is also why those same Pharisees envied Jesus and hated Jesus. People were listening to Jesus. They were following Jesus by the thousands. And those Pharisees did not like that. They resented that, and so they envied him and they hated him. And that's why they wanted him gone. So what we have to remember is that these men who are in the church now, because Jesus has been dead for years, the church has been in existence for years, And these men who are in the church now, they're Christians, but they have the background of the Pharisees. And these men who are in the church are motivated by the same kind of ideology that those Pharisees were. And so they are nitpickers, and they try to control people. And the Bible says here that in verse 12, they desire to make a fair show in the flesh, that is a good showing, by converting you over to their cause. And he says they constrain you to be circumcised. They tell you as Gentiles that you have to be circumcised. And notice that they're motivated by something else that Paul mentions here in verse 12. He says they do this. They try to make converts out of you, lest they should suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. They didn't want to be persecuted by fellow Jews. They especially did not want to be persecuted and criticized by Jews in the church who were like them. Now remember, there was a big fear factor in the first century over this, and even Peter gave in to some of that in Galatians chapter 2. Because if a Jew was seen eating with a Gentile, even if they were both Christians, then those Jews were criticized by other Jews. So they didn't want that criticism. They didn't want that persecution. And so they told these Gentiles that they had to, in a sense, be like Jews. In verse 13, he said something else about these people, and he shows the hypocrisy of it all. And that is, these very men in the church didn't keep the law themselves. Verse 13, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. So Paul says these men in the church who are Jews with a Pharisaic background are telling you Gentile Christians that you have to keep the law, but the whole point is, he says, they're not keeping it themselves. They're hypocritical about that. Oh, they had been circumcised, but that was only the beginning according to them. You had to do a whole lot more than just obey the law of Moses when it said you had to be circumcised. And this is what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 2. He talks about the hypocrisy of these Jews in being so hard and so strict on other people when they didn't practice the very things they're binding on others. In Romans chapter 2, verse 17, notice the attitude here. Behold, you are called a Jew. You rest in the law. You make your boast of God. You know his will. You approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. In verse 19 and 20, he talks about the attitude that they had toward themselves. He said, you're confident that you're yourself a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, who has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. But then he says, beginning in verse 21 of Romans 2, answer me some questions then. Verse 21, thou therefore which teachest another, do you not teach yourself? Thou that preachest that a man should not steal, do you steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, do you commit sacrilege? So they didn't practice what they preached, and the Pharisees were bad for telling others to do things that they themselves did not do. And that's exactly what we find here in verse 13. Paul says in verse 14 and 15, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Paul says that it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised as far as being a Christian is concerned. In verse 16, he said, and as many as walk according to this rule, this teaching, this pattern, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God here is the church, both Jews and Gentiles. In verse 17, Paul said, from henceforth let no man trouble me. This seems to indicate that they had been bothering him and aggravating him over this matter. Paul said, this doesn't need to take place anymore. I have set the record straight here. And he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. These Judaizers talk about circumcision. He says, my marks in my body are the scars that I have from being beaten for the cause of Christ. And in verse 18, he closes, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.